Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to the Uranus Happen Show live here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by eAstrologer.tv. I'm Ernesto. I'm your host, and I'll be with you here for the next 2 hours. I do apologize for some confusion that this show is normally scheduled to be on Sundays at 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Arizona or Mountain Standard Time, but I messed up and scheduled it for 2. So we're just going to kind of sit here and chat about some spiritual things and hopefully get take some calls with some free live readings today. Veretta, are you there on the line with me right now?
I am here and ready to go.
Perfect. All right. So we were just talking before the show started that I'm in this whole process of personal metamorphosis and getting myself, you know, I guess, ready for the next phase of myself to be the best version of myself that I can be. And meanwhile, there's all of these other things that are going on in the background in my personal life. So it's just like there's some really serious conscious disruption that's happening that I'm finally facing, you know, those inner demons that I've neglected for so long. And, you know, it's shaking up a lot of things that are somewhat uncomfortable. And I'm realizing these facets about my life that I really could improve and I'm just neglecting on them. So it's an interesting experience. It's not easy. So when we talk here on the show about like do the work, what we really refer to again is the fact that you can get what you want out of the universe, but that's only if you do the work on yourself to transform your internal world so that the external world then matches it or reflects however it is that you perceive yourself. So that's not easy. And a lot of people are, you know, not really inclined to doing that type of work just because of how challenging it can be to really uproot a lot of outdated belief systems and things that just don't serve you anymore. And so when we get into these conversations with ourselves about where we're headed in life, it really becomes hard to have a game plan just because we're sort of just flailing and grabbing for whatever information or kernels that we can get along the way. And since that's all that we really know. I mean, it's very primitive in that regard when you're rebuilding yourself. So it does get easier, I want to say. But just remember that if you need to, you need to really let your friends and family members know that you're probably going to be more pissed off than usual in this entire next little bit here, because getting angry at things, that's just a symptom of that you're actually, you know, down the right path. You're actually improving and giving up those aspects of yourself that just don't work anymore.
Yep. Yeah, and once you have a better grasp of why you became or how you can get so easily trapped into that cycle, sometimes that's not easy to accept why we can do that, you know, so easily. One example, we sometimes choose to remain in that kind of super environment because it's a hell of a lot easier to exist and accept that you can't do a shitting thing about whatever it is that's going wrong in your present demeanor, so why try? And you get in that habit. You get in that habit of understanding when I'm in my mode of I don't give a shit phase, I don't have to try. And that's a lot easier. So sometimes when you realize why you become or why you got trapped or what happened in a way that got you started in it, you take a look at yourself much differently if you can. And sometimes people get stuck in that feel sorry for me victim mode and they don't want to get out of that either. But kudos to anybody that's going to give themselves permission to try and break old habits, old histories, old belief systems, especially if it's something that it's going to improve their health, their demeanor, their outlook on life, their ability to live.
Well, and the big thing is for me was that I wasn't really sure if I wanted any of these things. And you know, because, again, you know, the concept of change is too scary. You know, like that's – I don't know if I want to do all of that. That sounds like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just not even sure if it's right for me. So why even bother? And so a lot of us kind of defeat ourselves right then and there, and that's it. And that's as far as we get. But for
exactly.
Me, I was kind of like, so if since I'm always a belief of challenging your thoughts, which is like one of the primary modes of cognitive behavioral therapy in psychology, I just kind of thought to myself, so what happens if I do this thing? You know, like all of these things that I've been neglecting over the years, if I just give myself a 30-day trial to just give it a go and see what happens, and then assess where I'm at in a month, then I'll do that. And if I don't like it, if it's not really anything significant or amazing, then I'll go back to the old way of doing it because that was comfortable and nothing was really broken. But at least I gave it a genuine effort to see if this was going to work for me or not, because, you know, you truly never know until you try.
That's exactly right, Ernesto. And that is the one of the hardest parts of restructuring your life, who you are, how you see things. That's the hardest part, is giving yourself permission to let go of the old and try the new, even if it's just for a 30-day trial. And so kudos for you for giving yourself permission to make a change.
Well, a lot of it is just the fact that, you know, like I'm just, because of human experience, I'm somewhat resistant to change, even though my primary mode is always improving myself. But, you know, then you realize that improving yourself takes a lot of work and a lot of time and energy, and I don't know if I want to do that. So if all of those things are still true, in order for change to remain appealing to me, if this is something that I want, I have to establish boundaries and limits, you know, and say, I'm going to do it for 30 days. And if I feel better, then I'll keep it rolling. If I don't, then I'm going to go back to the old way, because at least there's that comfort or that safety net that, you know, maybe something really isn't wrong. And I won't know for sure until I try it out. So let me establish these limits in these terms, so that way I know what this experiment is going to be about. And if I like it, then I'll keep it up. If not, then no big deal. At least I tried, and at least I got that knowledge and understanding that I know that this is not for me.
Yeah. No, great loss. And like I said, kudos for you giving yourself permission. It's just not, you know, it's just not that easy to like you are classifying perfectly what people, you know, why should I give shit? Why should I even try? Nothing's going to change if I do. So why, what's the point of even putting the effort into this? That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And the system I've got, kind of easy. It's been easy. So, yeah, it's, but what you'll find after the 30 days, if you do it right, and some people have to get counseling during this time frame as well to make it realistically stick, because if they don't, they're going to repeat whatever the pattern was that was the problem inside. So the other thing you also have to take into consideration, Ernesto, is once you start to change, the people around you might decide they don't like you so much anymore. And that's a barrier people have to address, because honestly, it's not that easy to just uproot yourself and change your whole life, especially if some of these people are family, you know, and they're going to give you crap about changing, and or they want to exist in that lifestyle and they don't want you to get out of it, because then they're all by themselves looking like the only idiot. So there's multiple challenges to why people don't task themselves with changing a lifestyle that is eventually going to really hurt them. It has a lot of reasons for that. So anybody that can do it and succeeds needs to share, so others can then decide, well, shoot, you know, maybe it can be successful. That person did it. Maybe I can't. I have to put my prejudice aside and say, nothing I do is going to work because nothing that I've done before has. So why should this happen? So you have to deal with some of those barriers too.
Well, and there's a really, you know, critical piece of information that we need to consider when it comes to being successful at personal change, is you have to be hyper aware of everything that you've done in the past, what did not work, and more specifically, what are the triggers or the, you know, scenarios that you get yourself into where that old way, you know, that those thoughts just kick up and, you know, go into high gear. Because when we're aware of the behavior patterns or the thoughts or the activities that cause or trigger, you know, other types of negative feedback or behavior, then we know how to avoid that or how to override it with more positive things. So, for example, you know, like as opposed to sitting here and playing my game for the next 3 hours on my computer, I'm going to go out and take a 20-minute walk. I actually end up getting so much more enjoyment out of that than what I do sitting here in my chair doing this other mindless activity.
Right, right, right. And that's actually a better activity all the way around for so many reasons. So, right, you've got to decide to make that effort to change what you're doing in order to have a productive lifestyle.
And the other thing, too, is that, like, we talked about this a little bit last week on the show, like, about Ho'oponopono. I did that a little bit. And, you know, I was really sort of on the fence. I'm not really sure what I thought about it or if this was something that I needed or anything like that. But I, just as a curiosity, I thought, let me just try it. Let me see what happens when I do it. Because a friend of mine that I've been working with recently, she keeps, you know, talking about this thing, and I put it off and I don't do it. And I thought, well, let me just try it. Let me just see what happens. And I did, and it absolutely gutted me in a way that I cannot even describe. Like the crying, the inner child that was released, like all of those emotions that I had buried for 36 years just kind of came up to the surface. And it totally reframed my perspective on a lot of things when it comes to like self-care and, you know, how I love and respect myself. And then it gets into, you know, like really terrifying things like about like universal love, for example, like God's universal love. That's something that transcends the limits of my internal programming. So my only response is just to cry hysterically because I don't know how to process that information. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm not anything. It's just, that's just a release of energy. So when I get into like, you know, like these really big things that I don't understand, then I'm just releasing the stuff. And it was probably, I would say, the most healing and powerful experience I've had in the past 10 years.
Oh, wow. Excellent news. That's wonderful. You know, and I congratulate you on that as well. You know, allowing yourself to feel enough to express those emotions that are stuck, like you said, in the last 36 years, pent up stuff that you can get rid of. Again, that's not something that, you know, people typically would really want to heal. If they hadn't dealt with it already, they wouldn't probably want to know any more than what they know and exist on. So, you know, you're just in a very catharsis, susceptive mode. You're looking for anything that's going to make that change happen, you know, and because you are receptive to that, it could be as simple as an apple core in the garbage can that gives you some type of notion, and it sets you into motion, and that's enough. That's enough. And as long as you don't tailspin, and by that I see people take on a lot more than they need to, and they can't chew all of that, and then it gets a little bit, you know, much on their palate. They can't digest what they're hearing, what they're being told is not something that they can view as realistic in their lifestyle, yet they forget that you just expressed, you know, their mortal being is not going to be able to understand everything they're told based on their basis, their capacity of understanding. And people get lost in the fact that they don't get it, so they don't get it, they quit. No, quit. Just look at it as something that you don't understand in the moment and keep going with the other things that can benefit you. God's love, God's word, any type of spiritual practice that's based on love. And that is what you express, the universal, the God's creator love, not the emotional chemistry, ooh, baby, baby love, but the one that created the essence of all. That's what we have to tap into and prefer to stay in touch with in order to grow and heal versus I want to study under guru so-and-so, and then I'm qualified or capable to go out and spread the word. No, if you're qualified and capable, you got it in you already. You just need to feel the connection. And like you did, Ernesto, and one of the biggest ways I know people connect to the source is by crying hysterically, just exactly like you described. my mister, when I met him, had been looking forever for someone that could help get, you know, past that exterior, that crack, that tough nut shell. And during a class in meditation that he was sitting in with me, and he wasn't my mister at the time, but I was doing a root to crown chakra meditation, and we got to the heart, and it's just a common open the heart exercise that I do during meditation, but it was just enough for him to feel that source. And he started crying, and he couldn't quit, and he cried for like 15 minutes. And this guy hadn't cried for 40 years by then. And so it was very monumental when he felt that connection, because it was real. It was a tangible, you know, feeling that he was connected. It wasn't a concept. It wasn't a belief system. It was something that he experienced and tagged into and knew was real. And from then on, it could change his perception on what he wanted to do, how he wanted to grow, the life he wanted to lead, the things he wanted to do and believe and assist in. So when you're looking for that cathartic type of expression or that cathartic type of experience, then you got to know then that's going to set the tone for what's to come. That's going to change you inevitably forever. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing if you can, at that moment, let go of the old and continue to maintain that connection with that creator's love, and then balance yourself by walking in this world of the physical. And that's the polarity that we need to understand exists in us all, creator's energy and the physical energy. And we have to balance that. And so somewhere in the middle then there's ego and all, you know, earthbound spirits that kind of try to influence us and anything else that we can be vulnerable by as long as we're in the material world. But when you're changing who you are in the middle of the game, then you're literally crawling out of one boat and into another and understanding that you're going to have to learn the rules of that game and abide by those rules in this game, because what you used to know, crawling out of the old boat, doesn't exist anymore. It's down the creek and you've sailed on to bigger waters. And some people fail at this level right here. And I've been witness to and have unfortunately been a part of, you know, the coaching system of those that have been enlightened and felt like they all of a sudden could heal, or they could read, or they're the master medium because they've been made aware of the energy that feeds us all, and they want to use and manipulate and you know, utilize it for their own will and good. So they fail right there. They fail. Even though they would call themselves the master, or they would call themselves proficient or great at anything they're doing, because they took it in the context of utilizing their free will to manipulate this energy. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's what manifestation is. Yeah, you can do it that way. But you can also do it in a, I don't know what to use the word, clean, clear, uncompromised, unbastardized way, and manifest a clean conscience subscription of what you want life to be. And that is most definitely something that you can do until you get to the point spiritually that you realize you're here to serve, and if you're manifesting something in a way, it's only to enhance the benefit of your service. It's not to be the big rich guy on the hill with a house and the mansion and the this and the that, the cars up the wahoo and the girls or whatever. It's to be able to serve comfortably. And if your needs are met, and they're met with not huge, not surplus, not over-the-top things, then you're doing your job. Now, do I mean serve by get down and scrub the floor for someone, slop somebody's bucket, you know, be treated like crap because people don't understand? No, that's not what I mean. I mean serve humanity as a whole and help people grow and be kind and live serene and blah, blah, blah. So the reality of it is when you find that spiritual place, if you're connected to the source and you found the balance that you need to walk in the physical, then now you're sailing high. Now you're supreme. Now you've tamed the ego and you've mastered the free will and understand the consciousness in this universal reality of the physical, and you can make things happen if that's what you want or if that's what your mission was to fill. That's when it gets great.
The one, you know, I watched this documentary on Netflix. It was about some high school kids that stole a whole bunch of, you know, money from celebrities and jewelry and all this other kind of stuff. And the mother of one of the kids was involved. I think it was like the Church for Science. It had something to do with like science of mind. It was very woke. It was super like gaslighting, brainwashing into like toxic positivity where, you know, that whole belief that I can be an astronaut kind of stuff, even though I'm not going to do anything to change myself to make that happen. I'm just going to wait for this thing to come to me. So that's where it gets really dangerous. And I was at the point in my life where I just felt like that things are kind of stagnant, you know, like I'm not really happy with the way things are. There's so much room for improvement, you know, like as a consultant, which is what I do professionally. And I've worked with many consultants across different subjects over the years. The one thing that is always true is there is always room for improvement. Nothing is ever perfect. Mm-hmm. So there is always comments that can be made or, you know, something that we can work on for ourselves. So I thought, let me do this test, you know, with, you know, getting clean and trying to figure out what I want out of life, adopting more spiritualized principles. And I'm still not sure what's going to happen because I'm only maybe 4 days into this entire experiment, but that's definitely 4 more days than I've ever given myself in the past. You know, like I was usually lucky if I even got a full 24 hours in most cases.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, you know, to do something different just to see what happens. Because if it's really true that the entire universe is energy, then there is a reasonable expectation that my energies and actions and in changing myself and not doing the old things that I used to do, there's a reasonable expectation that my future will manifest different outcomes than what I've had in the past.
100% correct. Because you're not utilizing the energy you used before. So now you've got access to a whole different pool of opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? Because you are not operating at the level. Yes, everything is energy. This whole everything, anything that you can think of, if you were to ask a question about, I would say, yes, it's energy. Because your energy is existing at a different plane of awareness, once you're in that, in a regular routine manner, you're clear, you're clean, you're operating at a level that, you know, you've kind of not been before or at a long time, then you start to see differently. Things come at you. And in that way, you start to see those things, whether they're opportunity or not, and choose better to stay or walk away. And the things that come at you may be very similar to the old things, but you're going to find the quality of those things is so much better. And in that way, you'll start to see life improve.
And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, addicts, whenever they give up their poison of choice, how everything just sort of magically changes over time. And it's not like it just magically just in the drop of a hat overnight, you know, like it was their own actions. And even, you know, if it seems flippant, like, you know, this is something I don't want, but I'm going to do it anyway, just to see what happens. And then you find out that, you know, like, oh, I'm getting things that I didn't see coming. And then it's exciting.
Yeah.
Then that's where the real magic happens. This is Uranian astrology. This is alchemy. That's why we do this. And your chart is actually just a guide that we can use for, you know, like the blueprint or the matrix of your soul's DNA in terms of the skill set or the knowledge base that you have to deal with any particular issue in your life. And then by reading this, we can give you some advice and information based on your soul's matrix or soul's DNA that we can, that you can use that and put that into play and really start to get a lot more fulfillment out of life than what you've ever felt in the past.
Right, right. And
so
depending upon how aware you are, it really doesn't matter whether you're versed in metaphysics, New Age, spirituality, whatever. It just what determines your abilities are or self value, worth, esteem, I don't know, whatever that verbiage is your ability, your willingness to learn. There it is. Finally, I found my words. Your willingness to learn is what will dictate how aware you become. Doesn't matter how much you know already, your willingness to learn will determine what you get in the long run.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, I just wanted to bring something up about the Ho'oponopono thing that I've gone through recently. It was the reason that it was so confusing to me and I didn't understand it was because I'm familiar enough with the concept. It's just, you know, four very basic phrases. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And that just didn't click. I would just thought, why would I say this to myself? But then when you, like, I found this guided meditation and I was doing it and then something just kind of made sense and I realized, oh, so if I'm staring at myself in the mirror and I say those four simple phrases, the best way I can contextualize this is that the Ernesto who runs the show at the top, you know, in my head, who makes all the decisions, you know, like that ego self is saying those phrases to the inner child, you know, in my heart chakra. So that's really where the dialogue comes in, that, you know, you're really just, your ego is basically just apologizing to your higher self or to your soul. And, you know, through this whole love and forgiveness and acceptance process, all of the knots and entanglement of despair and guilt and regret, fear, all of that just kind of, it's just lifted out of your body. It's quite magical. And, you know, your body physically responds to, you know, those words. If you just keep continuing to repeat them in a chant, it's quite amazing. I don't really get it, but the effect it had on me was quite profound.
Well, you know, and that's all that matters. Whether you get it or not, it doesn't matter. The fact that it did happen, that's what counts.
Okay. All right. So we are going to get off to our phone lines here today and take some calls. I just want to let everybody know that if you are watching us on YouTube, to be sure to mute your computer audio so that way we can avoid that feedback loop. And also, we'd really appreciate it if you could take some notes while you're talking to us, to leave any initial impressions or feedback in the comment section or wherever you're catching the show, if that's on Facebook, on YouTube, on BTR, wherever. We love reading that feedback from everybody. That's always really great. So we are going to get off to our first caller here from area code 307. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Uh-oh. I don't think so.
Okay. Hello?
Hey,
hello.
There
we
go. My name's Alyssa, and my date of birth is 9/17 of 79.
9/17/79.
Yes.
And at what time were you born?
I was born at 1:02 a.m.
Okay, and where were you born?
In Price, Utah.
Perfect. All right. Price, Utah. Great. And Alyssa, do you have a question for us tonight, or would you just like a general reading?
No, just a general reading.
Perfect. All right, Verena, take it away.
All right, Alyssa. Well, it looks like you've got good news. You'll be receiving, or you've just received, and it feels to me like it is the kind that, you know, will really make you excited. I feel like it also will make a little bit of a change or something, you know, will be a lasting memory or will be lasting for you with it. I feel like there's other people that will be involved that are happy. It's not just you. It affects more than just you. And I also feel like I want to say the end of this year, by the end of this year, I guess, or from now till the end of this year, you'll be busy deciding something, like making arrangements or planning something. So you've got something come up that will also be kind of exciting for you where that's concerned, or fun. I'll say it fun. Should be, okay. Anyhow. And I also get that even though whatever this information is, it may be profound, someone in spirit right now wants to let you know they're very aware that you're going to be happy soon and that they're listening, or they are there. So don't feel sad about them not being present, because they want to tell you that they are, and they hear everything that you say, and they want you to know that they're very, they're near. They're not gone away. It feels like an older generation, but I can't get a gender really on them. They're not coming in clear. But they're throwing images at me to give me the sense to let you know that they're very close.
Okay.
Now, Ernesto, can you grab anything from that?
Yeah. So I'm taking a look at this. And Alyssa, are you single right now?
Yeah, I am.
Are you looking for somebody? Is this something of interest to you to be in a relationship?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right here, right now, that this is absolutely 1,000,000% the year that you will meet somebody in a relationship partnership sense. And I get the sense that this is a very deep soul type of love. And the reason I can say that is because if we look at this, if you're watching our YouTube stream, you'll see that I just added a black line here from these two separate Uranus on your chart in relation to this axis point. So between that and those green squares are going to represent more of the conversations about love, a new friendship that's kind of happening out in the world. But then the Uranus part, that's going to be the destiny. So that's going to bring up some that's going to bring in a new relationship, new love to you. Now, I would tend to think that because you're calling, just by the nature of you calling the show, that by virtue of you as a soul out in the universe, that you're into things like metaphysics and spirituality and everything that's being discussed today. So whoever it is that you're going to be meeting up with, this is going to be somebody that I want to say that is going to be into something like we're talking about today, because you've got all of this Poseidon energy. So this is going to be like a pretty serious spiritual partner. You know, if you're into any of those spiritual groups, you know, or, you know, like if you do anything along that lactation circle or something like that, those would be the types of, you know, places where you would meet this guy. And I really do believe that it's going to be a man, because there's a lot of Mars energy that's happening in your chart here. It may not be until after the first of the year, just because Mars is in retrograde, or it will be at the end of the month. So that's going to create some changes of that male energy for you. And I think it'll be a time for you to kind of go inside and think to yourself, all right, so if I'm going to settle down with somebody, if I know this is coming down the turnpike, what are all of their ideal qualities? Homework assignment, open up a Word document, journal page, however it is that you like to write down your internal thoughts, but write down all of the thoughts of the qualities of my ideal partner. Avoid any and all negative or negation language. So don't say like, he's not a drug addict. So like, that's not what we want to say. We want to say like, he knows how to let loose and have a good time. That would be a positive way of saying that exact same thing. So, you know, doing this, you know, saying that, like, for me, my number one thing in a partner is he is kind. Like, and my number zero requirement is that they are loving and accepting of my mother, who is my best friend in life. So, you know, like, these are the things that I have on my list. And I'd really like for you to do this for yourself, Alyssa, because, you know, a fun thing that I read in a relationship book one time is that if you really go inside yourself and draw these things out, then what you can do is when you meet this person on your first anniversary, go back and read that, you know, like as a love letter, and say, is this you? because, you know, that's absolutely something that you can do, because you summon this person into your life. You conjured them through your own thoughts and actions. And as we were talking about at the beginning of the show with the personal metamorphosis, that I would be inclined to believe that, you know, you're going through some transformation having to do with your spiritual thoughts or beliefs or practice. Maybe even this could
yeah.
possibly relate to, like, you know, a change having to do with you and like commercialized or standardized religion, you know, like in terms of how people
yeah.
get together in a spiritual sense. Like, you're just kind of realizing that's not for me. There's something more to that. Don't know what it is, but it's
yeah.
not this. So that's another thing, area in life where you're at right now. So these are all the major standouts of your chart right now. And we can definitely get into this some more over time, or if you have a specific question, we can bring that up. But and in general
okay.
reading, this is kind of what I picked up. So I
okay.
hope you find this helpful.
Yes.
Did you have any questions about this one?
Yes, it's great. And everything you said is right on the money, but I kind of have a question, and I was wondering. I live in Wyoming, and a friend of mine is in California, and I have a couple days off, and I really don't have nothing going on. And so, do you think a trip to California would be a good idea?
Like a vacation?
Like, yeah, just like a couple, like probably 3 days, and then come back.
Yeah, let's take a look at that one. Veretta, what you got?
I got a yes. I don't even have to get into the depth of it immediately. I got yes right away.
Okay.
You have
nope.
the means. There's no reason you can't. And because either you have an invitation, an open invitation, or
yeah.
it's just something that you've been talking about doing, the time is now. I get yes. Are you good, Ernesto?
Yeah, so I actually have your chart set up for the 25th, and I don't know if you've heard any or if you follow Western astrology at all, but one of the, you know, the big piece of steaming hot garbage that everybody is going to be talking about in the near future is going to be around the 25th of this month, when there's like this partial solar eclipse, which is something we don't really pay attention to in Uranian astrology
yeah.
because that's just a single factor analysis, and we read three charts on what we do here. So I have your chart set up for this because I was working on another demonstration earlier, but looking at this particular day, like, I would tend to think that right around the end of the month, that's going to be a time when you're going to be doing some traveling. And my advice to you, though, is I would definitely get it done before the 30th or the 31st. I think that's when Mars goes into retrograde. And the only reason
okay.
I say that is because Mars is sometimes a planet that's associated with vehicles or automobiles. So if that planet's moving backwards, you may end up with some car troubles. So if you
okay.
want to, if you're thinking about going to California, get that out of your system now. It would just be probably the last week of October, right before that retrograde hits. So you can kind of
okay.
circumvent those car issues if there are going to be any. But that would be my advice to you. And as far as like the trip itself and what that looks like, I think this is going to be about you establishing a connection with somebody, and that, you know, that this is a really creative type of partnership. You know, like there's a lot of really beautiful mental energy between you and this other individual. So that's like
yeah.
that in that regard, you know, that would be the reason why you go. So if you talk to this person anytime between now and then, you know, try to plan activities around that, like maybe some local meetups or something along those lines, just to keep yourself busy. But
okay.
Alyssa, this definitely looks like a time for travel for you.
Oh, good. Great. Good news, guys. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was great to have you on the show. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Until next time.
Great.
Take care. Bye. Okay, and we are going to get off to our next caller here from area code 917. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi. This is Karen, 32950.
Karen, you've never called us before. I don't have you in here, so let me start a new chart. No worries. And welcome to the show, by the way. I'm so glad that you found us today.
Yes, I've been enjoying it so far. Thank you.
No,
and what I'm sorry, what was your birth date again?
My what?
Your birth date.
Oh, my birth date. 3/29/50.
At what time?
3:19 a.m. New York City.
And where were you born, Karen? New York City?
Manhattan? New York City, yes.
Perfect. All right. And would you, do you have a question about an issue today, or would you just like a general reading?
A general reading, and anything having to do with this apartment and what's coming up, or whatever the universe wants me to know, maybe just do that.
Perfect. All right. What you got, Bretta?
Okay. Do me a favor and take a breath. As you exhale, think of the bottom of your feet. There you go. All right. Say your name for me. Just your first name.
Karen.
Okay. So I got a female, an older female coming in that pretty much wants to monopolize this whole thing. So in a way, I'm just going to let her say, hey, and kind of tell you right, this is mom. Tell you right away that, come on, so now I'm seeing peaches, peaches and cream, I'm supposed to say, hang on, apartment, thank you, now. So this is what I get about the apartment. I had to clear mom because she just started flooding me with all kinds of things. You're going to stay in that apartment as long as you need be. When you're really ready, if you're ready, when that time frame comes, you're going to go. But not until you're ready. So therefore, the things that need to be repaired or fixed need to get done, and that should happen quickly. You have every right to ask or complain if that's what it takes. She says, just don't swear. Oh, mom's feeding me this. She says, just don't swear at anybody, and you'll get it done. And apparently there's a lot that needs to be taken into consideration. So nothing needs to be forced. But it does need to be compelled, and she wants you to just push the issue until it gets done. And after you're happy there for a while, then you can decide if you want to stay. If you don't, you won't. If you do, you will. And most likely you'll stay, like she says, until you're done with where you're at, and then you'll go. Not the apartment, but with where you're at, then you'll go. You got a little bit you can be doing while you're there, even though it's, I don't know what the meaning of this is. She says, even though it's not a subtle place, is something you can concentrate in and you should. So whether that's for writing, creating, I don't know, you should be doing it there in the time frame you have left.
Does that have to do with relearning? I'm sorry.
Relearning.
I was wondering,
something?
Would that have to do with me relearning music, relearning the piano?
Oh, most definitely.
Or,
most definitely. It is. No, you already have the psychic gifts. Yes, you can continue in a manner to develop those, but you need to be tangible. So I would go back to the piano. I would say this is about learning, relearning that piano technique right now before you go. And she says, honestly, because you don't care who you piss off there. And once you leave, you're going to have a little bit more conscience about just sitting down and playing a piano openly with no reference to anybody hearing. So it's good to do it where you're at now. Learn the piano now. You're going to be okay. You need to hear me say this from a perspective of health. You don't know what your health is like, or you don't know how much time you have left. you have time left, honey. You got a lot of time left, and you're going to use it wisely, and you're going to be okay. So rebuilding yourself is the priority right now. Rebuilding yourself. So whatever that means, whatever that means to you, how much ever leverage that gives you, utilize it and know that this is a time frame for you to take care of things, take care of self, reestablish your foundation and who you are and what you can and can't do. Let go of the old, embrace the new, and enjoy life of what's left. Now, having that been said, I'm going to let Ernesto give you what he finds, because he'll find you all kinds of good things in there, I'm sure.
Can I ask a question first?
Absolutely.
About staying here and being okay.
Mm-hmm.
Will I find a financial solution to stay here for as long as I want or need or whatever,
necessary?
Or will I still have to get a roommate at some point, which I'm dreading?
I'm actually going to tell you, Karen, that I was looking at that myself, and from what it looks like, I would tend to think that you're probably going to move in with a lot of people. You know, that I see more bodies in your home environment. Let me just put it that way. Don't really know what that refers to specifically, but you know, it could be a boarding house situation. It could mean that you just move in, you know, a single roommate, somebody that you know, regardless of who it is. You're going to have a good time. It's not going to be problematic because, I mean, if we're going to be really honest, your living situation at the moment is pretty dire. It's going to get really bad, you know, if we don't, you know, try to do a little bit of damage control for the future. So I do think that you will prevail and you'll be successful with all of this. But the big missing link in terms of, you know, your question about your living situation, the thing you have to remember is, I may not get to do it by myself. You know, like that may not be a thing for me. This attachment that I have, I might have to give it up because this is going to be the barrier to, you know, me living the fulfilled life that I really want. So that would be my answer about, you know, you getting a roommate. As far as the other stuff, you know, like music lessons, I absolutely see you doing music lessons. And also, speaking about like the psycho-spiritual stuff, I think you would also really benefit from doing some like channeling lessons, if that's with Veretta or with somebody locally. I just feel like that there is some spirit communication that, you know, some knowledge and some skills that you still need to pick up, and that you'll be very good at it too, by the way. But this is another thing in your toolbox, you know, that you know, you still have to pick up before you check out. And then also by doing something like spiritual communication or spirit communication, we'll say, then that's also going to raise some curiosity about your music, and that's going to give you some more information to be able to take care of that story in your life. Because, you know, like if we're talking about that X precludes Y in order for, you know, your life to unfold, well, that's kind of going to be the way that would work out for you. So I would think that right now, you know, doing some more spirit communication, doing anything, you know, that has to do with like spirituality and communication regarding other, you know, spirits in the ethers, like those are going to be things that you'll benefit from. And then that's also going to open it up for the music and that you living with people, that's going to be, I think, the true answer to your living situation for right now. And it is only temporary. It's not going to be like a forever. Like I'm going to live in this home or this boarding house for, you know, until I'm gone, you know, like that may seem really crappy to you. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the way it's going to be forever. There will be something that will open up later on down the line to where you don't have to be in that situation around the other people.
Okay, very good. Are you getting anything about what the music would be for? Where would it lead me or teach me? Or would it just
it's
open
a healing.
Up?
Healing. It's therapy.
Therapy.
It's therapy.
Oh.
Yep. So yeah, it'll teach you about you is what it'll teach you.
I'm sorry, it'll be what about me?
It will teach you about you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, what's interesting, Karen, is that, you know, in astrology, all of the planets that you see on the screen, on your chart, those actually all correlate to musical tones. This is something that I'm working working out right now. So there is a reasonable expectation, if that's true, that if the planets correlate to tones, that, you know, if I play an F sharp on the keyboard, that that is not only going to correlate to a planet in your chart, but that will also correlate to a color. So if you wanted to do something like color therapy, you know, then that would be something else that would open it, that would lend its way to you. But where I'm going with this is the fact that whenever we play notes on any musical instrument, just by our actions and creating that sound, you know, it resonates with the soul at some level. So if for me, because I perceive color, or I perceive music as color, that's called synesthesia, by the way. Like if I hear a piece in the key of F sharp, you know, that sounds very purple or blue to me. Like those are colors that I'll get quite often. So if you use that in terms of color therapy, that's going to be where the healing is going to come in, is that, you know, you play these notes in these songs or these pieces that you're working on, and, you know, then it opens up this gateway for you to channel your energy, and then that's where the healing comes in. So that's where the healing part is going to come from, the music therapy. And that's really more for you than it is anything else. It's not like, you know, that you're going to perform or you're going to teach or anything like that. It's just so that you can kind of make peace with the things that have happened over time, and that they can all just be left in the past, and you're okay with that.
Yep.
Wow,
that's a great explanation. Yeah.
Yeah. I was originally thinking of trying this with the piano after my partner died a few years ago, because he was very talented and he wrote his own music, but I can't find where he wrote it anywhere or recorded it. So I had this idea that, well, maybe I would get to the point where if I can play again, he could channel through me his music. But then think I overwhelmed myself and scared myself and said, yeah, right, like that'll happen. And I've been afraid to even try.
Okay, that makes sense as to why this is going to teach you about you. That statement right there makes absolute sense, why this is something that needs to happen now before you move out of this apartment or have to get a roommate.
The fact that I was avoiding it or overwhelmed to try?
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh.
Yep, yep. You know, just the fact you knew that and can say it out loud, that changes the next time you try or attempt to do anything that you feel you failed on. Did you know that? Just the fact you know this and can say it out loud now will change the end result of the next time you try to do whatever it was that you had issues with. Because you can say it out loud, you now can embrace this energy as something that you know can limit you if you let it. So you're not going to let it. And literally, you're going to push through whatever adversity you had before to make it happen.
Wow. Just by saying it and acknowledging
just
it?
By saying it out loud and acknowledging it. Yes, ma'am. It's the very first start. It's the first step.
Hmm.
If you were listening earlier, it's like I was telling Ernesto, the minute you become aware, that raises the vibration. That just raises the vibration. The thing that people don't understand is, because energy is the conduit for everything, when you set the tone of something and then you rethink it or you think different about it, and you reset that tone. You change the tone of what it is that you've just been thinking on. The tone is what Ernesto was just referencing. Everything is of energy. And if you play music, that is of energy too. Therefore, if you change the tone, you change the music. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So because you're changing your thinking, now you're setting a different tone. Now the end result is going to be different because you're not approaching it with the same attitude.
Mm.
Okay? We defeat ourselves right off the bat when we think, oh, I can't do this. The minute you say, I can't do this, or I don't know if I can do this, or this may be more than us, you just defeated yourself.
Right, that's the confusing part. I thought that would be, you know, setting yourself up to fail and putting out that negative energy for the law of attraction. So
no, well, but the reality of it is you just expressed what is.
Mm-hmm.
Now you
yeah.
can change it.
Yeah.
Now you can change it. Now you can't do that for somebody else. Nobody else can do that for you. But because you just did, now it's going to be different. Now, if you were to say, as far as setting the tone for universe, if you were to say, I can't do this, I will fail, I won't try because I won't succeed, and then you're setting it out there to the universe exactly what you want to have, yes. Yes, now you're telling them this is what you want to receive. I want to be the victim is basically what you're saying. So the universe is going to comply.
Right,
oh,
right.
There you go.
That was, yeah.
And Karen, just to speak to your point about, you know, your reservation about can I channel my husband and his music and or you know my and play his music, that whole conversation, absolutely yes you can. And let me tell you from experience, I didn't do this with music necessarily, but when I was developing a textbook for Uranian astrology, like there aren't very many methods, process steps that you can sort of follow, like they just don't exist. And the way to be able to describe this work in a way that people can replicate is somewhat complicated and very difficult to find those terms because they're so specialized. But I work so hard at this, and because I work so much with conscious channeling in my daily practice anyway, just by writing and working on this over months, I was really truly shocked that I would come up with these terms like, I don't know what that word is. I'm like, you're trying to say something to me that doesn't make sense. I don't know what that is. So then I would just sort of qualitatively describe it. And then what I found out, like I found some papers from Alfred Witt that were from like the 1920s. I found them out there on the internet. And it was a lot of his initial observations about astrology and why the 12th house system doesn't work. And then developing more into the Uranian system and how he does it this way and actually describing the methods and as to why he uses it this particular way. And I was just blown away. I thought, oh my God. So I did channel everything that he already laid out 100 years ago. It's just that, I just second guess myself because I don't have this knowledge or information to know like the word azimuth versus, like longitude or declination, and converting that to time, like there's this whole thing that makes that work. But, to speak to your point about the music, when you get out of your own way, it is truly insane the things that we can bring through into our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we have callers on the line, Ernesto? We have a lot of callers.
We have time. We're good. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to share just the story about that, about channeling, because once you become more confident or at least conscientious that you can let go of the need to determine whether it's real, then it flows. However, it's daunting sometimes who you can channel and what they can say. And this is one of the things proved to me that this was real. I quit looking anymore. I mean, I quit asking to see if there was validation or somebody could verify for me if it was real. I was in the middle of a class, or it was a Q&A, and I don't remember what it was. But anyway, somebody asked whomever I was channeling at that moment, how do you know it's real? How do you know, how does, and they were referring to me, how does Beretta know that it's real?
Yeah.
And the person that I was channeling responded with, well, you can know that's real because the medium's not that smart. And I thought, right? And so I thought, I heard that consciously. So now I explain to people, like, well, where are you in your channeling? I don't know. I'm in some, like, green room somewhere just waiting for my turn. I heard that when that was said. And I don't remember if I came out right then. But when I came back out from the channel, I'm like, hey, that wasn't very nice. I'm here. I heard that. And I'm aware of what you said. But the reality was it was very valid. There are things that come out, I have no clue what I'm saying. I say things sometimes that I ask people, like, is this even real? And they validate to me right then, right away. Yep, it is, everything you're saying. So when you get clear of the need to know what you're saying, the value of what you're saying is exponential because you don't stop and check it every time it comes through, therefore it flows. So Ernesto, part of this is for you. When you get in the habit of just allowing yourself to channel, you'll realize after the fact, probably maybe way after the fact, that there'll be times where things will come through that you know you don't know and you don't care anymore. You're just flowing with it. You're in the flow and you're just going to let it run. And you know that if there's an angle, you need to be aware that what you're saying, what the definition is or the explanation is, it'll come back to you. But when you're channeling things like book information with or literature with the intent to publish possibly, then you got to know that you need to be versed. Even though you channeled it, you need to be versed in this information because people are going to come back and ask you questions. So you have to know what it is that you're explaining in the long run. And for me, I got to the point to where that was just a standard. When people came to my classes, they knew I was channeling. And they also knew that if they were to sit in the same class next time, they may get totally different information, valid or from a different source. But it's because it's channeled and because it comes through in that way, I'm comfortable to say, I don't know. You ask me a question? I don't know. I can get the answer possibly. But honestly, it keeps me safer that way. If I don't read books, if I don't understand, if I don't come from the place of knowledge, when I intuit, because then I know it's absolutely 100%. It's not corrupt, and it's not said to me in any other manner than through spirit. And in that way, I can keep a comfortable balance knowing that it's real. Sorry, tangent. We can get off on that. But I just wanted to share. Yeah, there are times where you have to have proof, but if you're in the world that you know is real, you don't have to have proof. You just go with the flow every day. Every day.
And remember when you channel, like this is an issue that I had when like I first started the show 4 years ago, that people wouldn't understand what I would say, and this is because of you know, me working in retail customer service, and sometimes you'd have to deliver messages that were really unfortunate about corporate policies that just kind of damage the consumer. So you just get super. I would get super robotic, so I wouldn't have to get emotional and you know, get into that conversation with them. But what I learned over time is that with channeling, you know, like it is my responsibility, or with communication as a whole, it is my responsibility as the speaker to make sure that you, the listener, understand what's being said. So that's why, you know, like I can channel all this information about a message textbook for Uranian astrology, but the most important part is the fact that it comes across simple and everybody understands it. And more importantly, I have the knowledge base to be able to respond to any questions because I understand the subject material. But then on the flip side of that, what happens sometimes is that, like, you know, I say something and it was in a conscious channel mode, and then like you, the listener, say, "What did you just say?" And my response 100% of the time is, "I have no idea what I said.
Know.
That's
yep.
all on you." You know, like
yep.
So while it's my responsibility as the orator, as the speaker, to make sure that the message is understood, it is your responsibility as the listener to pay attention. You know, and then there are people that think that's rude that I say that you need to pay attention. Well, that's because you do need to pay attention, because that's how channeling works. That has nothing to do with personal responsibility. That's just spirit communication at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I get that.
So, just Karen, just let it flow through and let it run through you. And, you know, lovingly invite, you know, anybody, you know, who may want to come through. But also remember that you reserve the right to dismiss spirits that, you know, just want to bug the hell out of you. You know, like you can say, go away. I don't want, you know, like, I don't want you right now. Like, get out of my space. You can do that and say those words, because sometimes that's all you need to do to just, you know, send them off. Because when you open the portal, then you can end up under psychic attack and not really ask for it. Because then people come in and trash talk you from the peanut gallery, and you just think to yourself, "Now what the heck did I do to engage in this whole negative self-talk?"
Yeah.
Was learned about clearing and keeping away negative spirits and clearing yourself of other people's energies you might pick up too.
Yeah, most definitely.
I do more of that. Yeah. You know, can I ask you a quick question back to the apartment?
Yeah.
So,
what's
just
that?
Wondering, what is the feeling of which to get done first, which to ask for? They're both big projects, and I know the landlord is giving shit.
The bathroom
or the kitchen? Which do they say is the first?
Kitchen.
Kitchen. Interesting. Okay.
Something about the cabinets. So this is what's going to happen. It's going to take longer to get that one done because of what needs to be replaced. We need to ask them first so they can get started on it. And this way, they'll probably, then you can go at them about the bathroom while you're waiting for the kitchen to get done.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So
much. Great help. So glad I found you.
Yeah, it was terrific to have you on the show, Karen. Thank you for giving us a call this morning. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Okay, will do. Thank you again.
Okay.
Many blessings to you both. A happy full moon.
Thank you. I wish you the same.
Take care. Until next time. Okay, and we're going to take our next caller here in just a moment. But before we get off to do that, I just, Karen, thank you so much for calling the show and having and being a guest on the show today. It was great to have you. I just want to add one more quick thing here. That Ho'oponopono thing that I've been getting into, which has to do with like this, you know, like radical forgiveness and acceptance of, you know, God's universal love, that whole narrative we had at the beginning of the show, like, that's something that is so invaluable to get into that type of practice. So, you know, it not only is it releasing yourself of guilt and despair and all of those unwanted feelings, it just gives you a sense of clarity. You know, it's a form of meditation that's really quite powerful because you're just unfettered, you know, like all of those obstructions and those walls that, you know, that your mental roadblocks just put up, they just melt away. It's really quite magical how that works for you. So my advice to you, one last thing to add is just, you know, like add that type of practice. Look at yourself in the mirror and, you know, like the higher self, connect with your heart chakra self and say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Just as simple as that sounds, and it may not be anything, just do it. And, you know, like if you're like me, just be flippant and do it. Just say, well, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this second thing is going to work. Let's just try it out and see what the heck happens. And then it does. Because, you know, like, remember that everything is energy. And if I want to be flippant about it, I better be prepared for those results. And, you know, like, and not everything has to be negative gloom and doom, that there is such a thing as, you know, like positive consequences. You know what, like when you have the rug ripped out from underneath you and you didn't expect that to happen. And then all of a sudden your life is uprooted in, you know, a way that you've been wanting, but just don't give yourself permission to live that life.
Right. Or create.
Right. Yeah. And that's a big thing for everybody, is to give yourself permission to enjoy life. A lot of us don't really do that. You know, that we're just so stuck in the day-to-day mundane grind that eat, work, sleep, and that's all we ever know. And then after working is done, then it's eat, sleep, watch TV, and wait until we die. You know, like that's just kind of the way it works. And it's really sad and unfortunate that it has to be like that. But, you know, through our own actions, we can change that narrative so it doesn't have to be so bleak and unfortunate. So just giving ourselves – I've had conversations with him in the past where he would say, I can't go out and have fun anymore because I did all of that when I was younger. And then I would ask him the question, so what? You're just going to sit here and suffer until you die? And then he's offended by that question. So, you know, that dialogue does not go very far, but it makes me truly sad. I learned early in life that if you don't want to be a part of something because it doesn't make you happy, then walk away. Like, I'm very great at, you know, like learning when to, you know, cut my losses. A lot of people just stick around and keep on, even though they know it's not good. It's not what they want, but they do it just out of obligation or fear or guilt or feeling sorry for somebody whatever the reason, and then that's when things kind of backfire on us, and
right.
You know, our lives are turned upside down because, you know, like, we were involved with this thing that we shouldn't have been involved with, and, you know, as opposed to paying attention to the red flags, now all of a sudden we're involved in a bank robbery that we had no part of to begin with.
Yeah. Right.
So, on that note, let's get off to our caller here, Joanna from area code 352. Hi, Joanna. You're on the air. You've called us before. Let me pull up your chart. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. I have a few weeks back.
Yeah, I know you were on our show recently. How are you doing since we last talked?
Well, I just had a question about my sister because I'm not exactly sure where she's coming from. Maybe you can give me some insight. I need to move, and I'm looking into the cities that I used to live in, which made me very happy. But this is something that's been going on for many years. Every time I speak about moving back to these cities, she's like forbidding me. I'm not allowed. I don't have permission. There's nothing here for you. I don't understand where this is coming from. You would think that, you know, someone would be happy for you to move to, you know, someplace that makes you happy. And we just had two recent conversations and the same thing again. She's telling me, like, move to Texas, move here. I just, and again, forbidding me from, I'm not allowed to move back to those cities that I was bringing up. I don't know where this stems from, in other words.
Okay, sure. Let's take a look at that one. What's your sister's name, Joanna, by the way?
Christina.
Okay, Beretta, what you got?
All righty, Joanna and Christina. Does she live already where you want to move?
It's a city close to it, yes. I don't want to move to her city, but I've lived in the surrounding cities.
Okay. So part of the problem is the proximity to her, all right?
Okay.
And I would have to go so far as to say, honestly, it's more about her comfort and what she doesn't want to have to give up or live with, and that would be a competition or input from you.
That's what I thought, exactly. I have the chills.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, hon. Stick with your intuition. You're picking it up. Now, this is something that is really not on you. It's on her. And
exactly.
Let's look at that whole she's forbidding you crud. I get that she thinks she's doing it from a righteous foundation, but right now she is protecting herself. She's not protecting you. And she didn't want to have to adjust to living around you or even being around you in your living situation. So if you move there, it's going to be tough for you, only from her perspective. She is going to make you miserable, not anything there. She is going to make you miserable.
Oh, okay.
So I would definitely look at that with Ernest in regard to what it would be, what you would get there. If you're happy because you think it's going to be like it used to be, then you're not going to be happy. If you're happy because you had things the way you had them and it was what you wanted, it's going to be a fight to keep it that way because you're going to always have to fight with her. I mean, literally, she will make whatever she needs to do to disrupt you.
Yes.
So I would say think long and hard about moving there, and not because it's not good for you, but because it would change everything with her. And if you don't care about that, move forward. But if you do care about that, think long and hard about where you go, because if your sister is of any value to you, you don't want to lose that. However, she's got no right telling you where to go or where to live or anything about that. So do not make your decision two ways I'm going to state this. Do not make your decision based on her. A, don't not go because she doesn't want to. and B, don't not go because you don't want to make, you don't want to change your decision. Don't go because of her thinking, yay, when I get there, we're going to have fun. And don't go because of her, well, she doesn't want me to, so I won't. Okay? She's not going to be there to have fun. That's not going to be the situation.
Exactly.
So you make your decision based on what you'll do if you didn't have her as a sister. No, I'm not saying that's going to be the solution. I'm saying just pretend that she didn't exist and was forbidding you to go. Now what? Do you go? Of course you do.
Exactly.
So
and
you make
if
your
I may
decision
as well,
on.
I even looked at two other cities that are close to the other cities that I live in. Like, I've never lived in these cities before, but I was seeing, you know, what was, you know, what they're about, the options and things like that. So I've even looked into, you know, other neighboring cities that I've never lived in before.
Good, good. All right, well, we'll let Ernesto take a look at it and see what he's
Thank
got
you
for
so
you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Joanna, I'm taking a look at your chart right now, and if you're watching our YouTube stream, you're going to notice all of these marks that I just put up there, and so I'm asking three separate questions right now. Where the dial is at right now at 6250, that's the question about sisters. You know, like, what does that look like? Well, we can see that it's going to contact this green dot that's really close nearby, and that's a separate question that has to do with you and moving. We use several formulas for moving, so I wanted to check them all. And what we're doing is, in this case, that your sister is going to have something to do with you moving. But when you read that access point of what that story looks like, if you moved anywhere near her, I agree with Loretta, it would probably be the end of that connection. You know, like, that connection would probably, like, just drop. And the reason why is because there's a lot of malice. You know, there's a lot of nastiness that's associated with this person, like, that you being around,
yeah.
I'm not saying that she's a bad nut on her own, but you being around her, like, that's, that there's a thing in the universe that when two people are put together, that, you know, somebody else's planets may fire off things in your chart that don't really seem great for you. So you being around this person is going to kind of fire up a lot of just negative yucky things that are unpleasant, and so that's going to lead to, I think, an erosion of the relationship, and that's just, it's going to be somebody that, you know, you just wouldn't talk to anymore. So as far as, like, the move itself is concerned, I would think I'm more inclined to think that that you're going to be doing, like, some, you're going to be moving out of state. Is that where you're looking at right now?
Wow, you give me the chills. I thought about possibly Georgia. I don't know where else, maybe further up the coast. I haven't made any, for sure picks.
Well, I mean, I hate to use these specific words, but I see that it would be someplace that's hurricane prone. You know, like, there's a lot of water wherever you end up moving. So I do feel that it's also going to be, a distance, you know, like, you're going to drive a physical wedge between you and your sister just to keep things healthy. You know, sometimes we have to do this just to keep the peace, you know, like, I love you very much, but I can't talk to you right now because it's just not good for us.
Exactly.
You're not in a good place and I'm not either. So, but I still want to keep you in my life. So let's just, you know, work in our own separate lanes. And I'm going to do my own thing. And if you need me, then give me a call. But if not, we don't know each other. Just because I know that if you and me get together, that it's going to go bad. So this is one of those things that you're just going to have to do for right now. And I do really feel like that, you know, you will be moving out of state. And it's going to be something that, you know, it's probably going to be wherever you pick. Let me just say this, Joanna. I think it's probably going to be the place that you're going to land until you're gone. So I would be very surprised if you made another really big ass move like this again. Like, you might do some more stuff locally, like maybe another apartment or house. But as far as, you know, like, moving across country to across state lines, this is going to be probably the only time that's going to happen. So pick very, very wisely. Beretta might have some more insight for you on that. But that's the vibe that I get about moving in your chart.
Yes, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was keeping that in mind as I was looking in states that go up the coast, right, for hurricanes and whatnot. because I was also looking like at the Carolinas and Tennessee and, you know, and Kentucky and places like that. So you feel like once I'm put, that's it. And then that's, I'm done moving.
Yeah. Then there might be some small stuff, but nothing major like this. This is the big move that, you know, like that we would categorize as like kicking off the next phase in life, you know, like the new environment with the new characters and everything like that. This is going to be that chapter of your life that'll start to unfold, but the location is going to be the backdrop for probably until the end of time.
Wow. Wow, and that's honestly, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I wanted to find like a place and home, and I just wanted that to be it, exactly.
Yeah, this is going to be your place that you call home, wherever this is, and you will know. You know, you might do a little bit of traveling here and there, just, you know, for a weekend trip to see, do I like the feel of this city? You know, like, walk around it, go to any town and walk around in their downtown section. You know, like, what does that feel like? That always gives you a great feel of what a city's character is like. And then ask yourself, is this someplace I want to be? Because, you know, like, with the understanding, I may not get to move in for a very, very long time, if not ever. So am I good with this location?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. You've given me such good news, and I'm so happy that I called. Yeah, because that really was weighing on me, you know, the issue with my sister. And thank you so much both for enlightening me, and bless you both, and have a wonderful evening.
Well, thanks so much for calling the show, Joanna. Hey, Veretta, one last thing here before we let her go. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about, like, location-wise, any more input that you have there? Like, I was picking up a lot of water, and we had some other places that were named, but do you pick up anything specifically?
I'm good with up the coast. I think for her right now, anything farther, well, anything north of Florida, I think it's a little farther inland than I think up the coast inland. I think inland far enough that historically hurricanes wouldn't mess with it so much. I don't think you're going to go any farther than North Carolina.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, be sure to give us a call back, Joanna, and let us know how it turns out.
I will. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Yep. All the best. Until next time. Take care. Okay, and we are going to take our next call here from area code 614. And for everybody listening on Facebook, remember, give us a call live here on the show. We are not paying attention to that chat. It's area code 563-999-3070. We will be here until 2 p.m. Arizona or Mountain Standard Time. And to our next call, to area code 614. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happens Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Wilson, 51294.
Filson, okay, great. You've been on the show before. I remember you. Perfect. All right. Now, Filson, do you have a question for us today, or would you like a general reading?
I would like to know if I could get some advice in the love department, like what changes I could make or anything like that, or what issues I might stumble across.
Perfect. All right. Got it. Veretta, take it away.
Okay. Filson, are you in a relationship?
No.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so I would say if you're looking for what you need or what you want to improve how your odds are, you need to change where you're looking. Don't go half-cocked on who you are or what you wear or how. Don't do that. That's not about that. It's where you're looking. I think you are almost even looking to settle for a little less than what you would deem doable. And I'm going to tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. You keep your sights on a professional. You keep it on someone that could match you in intelligence and stamina and finesse. Are you are you somehow affiliated or connected to a hospital?
No, but I work in, I'm a pharmacy technician.
All right.
But
so,
I don't work in a hospital.
Okay, but that's close enough for me to see that. That most likely is where your connect for your love life should come from. That would be suitable for you. So whether it's a pharmacist or a doctor, I don't care what, but that's the area you need to be looking in.
Okay, got you. And thank you for telling me about settling. I have issues with that. I don't know why.
Don't do that. You're all good. You are all good. I think also one of the things you want to do is stay really connected to your spiritual practice and who you are. Because that is something that's important to you. So let that be an upfront thing. What am I saying? I'm saying that's what you tell people when they want to know who you are. Hey, who are you? You know, we're going to meet and have a date and get to know each other. That's going to be one of the first things you present. That's not going to be a thing you hide in the shadows until they get to know you. And then you present a, oh, by the way, I'm a master medium and you are being read every day. Don't do that.
Okay.
Tell somebody right up front who you are, your capability, what your patients are in the Department of Spirituality, which really aren't any. It's just a matter of wanting someone to understand that's who you are. You don't have expectations. You just need them to know that you're not going to put up with somebody mocking you if you sit down to do a little meditation. You're not going to, you know, have somebody giving you crap when you're looking at a book that pertains to metaphysics. You need to let people know straight up, right out the gate, that's who you are. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
So those are really the only two things that I see as a pop-up on the spectrum of what you need to know. Now, Ernesto will probably give you much better detail, so we'll let him do that.
Okay, so Philson, I'm taking a look at some stuff, and I know you've mentioned in the past that, you know, you do a little bit of like 12 house Western astrology kind of stuff. So you should be very familiar with that steaming pile of hot garbage that everybody's going to be talking about on the 25th with that partial eclipse. So here's what that looks like in your chart in terms of astrology and what we do on this side. So right here in the transits, I'm going to add a black circle right here over the sun and the moon. That's where that's going to be the eclipse itself. It's not this time of day because of the way the moon travels. So when those two are, when that moon moves back further and it's a little bit closer to that sun, then that's going to be when that eclipse would happen. So that's what everybody's getting all excited about. But the reality is that pink line that I've drawn from the midpoint of your sun moon by transit, that this part of the chart is, this is a single factor analysis. It's very difficult to say, you know, that the masses, millions of people on the planet will be affected by this one insignificant transit. And in your chart where we're looking at right now, you'll see that I have this pink dot. So this is your solar arc directions in relation to the question having to do with ascendant Venus, which is like about, you know, friends, about, you know, love connections, about pleasant connections, you know, just nice things, you know, like, so we look at that and we see because you have this pink dot here that this begins to raise some question that maybe there might have something to do with the relationship in that eclipse cycle, if you want to use that application, which we don't really pay too much attention to, but that's sort of what it would look like. And so what happens then is that if we look at like this, for example, that midpoint of ascendant Venus, 2113 in your chart, comes straight to your natal Mars. So we know, and I say this very jokingly, that we know that you're not a lesbian because ascendant Venus is going to come to Mars. So Mars is a male energy. So we know that whoever it is that you would want to be with is, in this case, is going to have to be a male or a man. So, you know, we know that you're not looking for any females. And I just say that jokingly. But more importantly, the standout here is the fact that you've got Kronos that stands a little bit behind it in your directions. And so what that means is this is going to be authority, and specifically when you combine it with Mars, these are going to be people of authority, men of authority. So like, you know, not just, you know, cashiers or, you know, janitorial workers, you know, people who are actually good at what they do, like doctors or pharmacists, you know, respectable professions. is what you would expect from Mars Kronos. So the fact that you've got that happening at this ascendant Venus midpoint, that's having to do with the type of person that you're going to be, you know, meeting. And I would expect then, as Retta was saying, that, you know, in your medical environment, that you would be with somebody that would be pretty good at what they do. You know, like I can only think of the word in Spanish. I can't think of it in English right now, but somebody who's a badass at what they do, you know, like they're very bad at it. And they're very, very well respected in that profession also. So this node Venus, which is again, another similar question having to do with love relationships. But now we want to know about node, the connection, the physical connection about you and somebody else. Cause I would like to know that, at least I don't know about you, but if I'm going to, you know, settle down with somebody, or, you know, I see something in a chart that looks like a relationship, I want to make sure that the relationship is tangible, right? Like it's kind of crappy to say, I'm going to meet somebody through an online dating app, but then it's going to take 4 years of conversation before I even, you know, like hear this person's voice. That's so long and drawn out that's really kind of like, I don't know if I would want to even get involved with something like that. So we asked this question about, you know, like you and physically meeting with people. Again, it comes up with the sun node. So this is physical bodies, connections to the physical body. And with Venus, this is, again, supporting more of that relationship narrative that this is, you know, similar to our another caller we had on the line earlier in the show, that you also have, you know, some love relationships coming up. And that's going to be the thing that'll be triggered in your eclipse cycle. I have no idea what that looks like in a 12 house system and don't really care to know, but I know under this lens that we can say with reasonable scientific certainty that this is going to be a time when you're going to be attracting a new partner into your life. And so, again, similar to our other caller, Alyssa, your homework here is write down that list of all of the qualities of, you know, my ideal partner, avoiding any and all negative language. So do not use like don't or isn't or those kinds of things, like he's not a drug addict. Don't say that. Say he knows how to have a good time. He is kind, you know, like he takes care of himself. Not he's good looking, because that's shallow. That's more of a want. He takes care of himself. That's a quality that, you know, that we can actually say about somebody that's attractive. So like these are the kinds of things. And as far as you, as far as like your whole thing, you know, you're still sort of doing a cleaning of house in terms of like a lot of spiritual beliefs and things of that nature. So there's some spiritual stuff that, you know, you're still kind of dropping off, like that whole like woke toxic positivity movement that people get themselves into. That's just one example. But, you know, this could also just be like really just unscrewing yourself from the things that you've picked up over the years that you that are just sort of like really delusional, that don't work for you, but you follow it anyway. It's just kind of like saying I'm going to detach from all of that, because there's still like some old belief structures that are sort of limiting or, you know, hindering your ability to settle down with somebody. Like if you were to meet this person within the next 24 hours, I can almost guarantee you that it would be a while before you saw that person again, because you know, like number one, if whoever is meant to be in our life will always find their way back to us. That is a universal truth, right? So like we don't have to worry about that. But it's just it's more the fact that like I Silson, am not mentally prepared to invite this person into my life. Like my space is not ready for that. I've actually been thinking in the future that we're going to be doing like some, you know, a relationship workbook that I'm kind of designing. It's a program that's in the back of my mind for the distant future plans. But what I would really recommend for you is like music therapy is someplace else where you would really benefit. You know, like do you play any instruments?
No, but I have been listening to music and singing along and all that stuff. But no, I don't. I mean, I want to, but not yet.
Okay, so this would be a time where, like, you know, you would also do like, if music therapy is one aspect of it, you may also do like some meditation or some gong work, you know, like that might be another thing that you could get into, but something to do with sound healing, that this is going to unlock parts of, you know, your subconscious memory that have just been suppressed over the years. And you realize, oh, so I need to take care of this part of myself. This is that. that's that missing link. I really feel like that the biggest thing of all, like, you know, not so much that you have to lose weight or, you know, cosmetic issues, like I need to get my hair cut kind of stuff. You know, it's more the being mentally ready for it. And I think that the unscrewing yourself from the stuff that isn't working, that's going to be the biggest part of the narrative that you really want to latch onto, is just dropping all of that stuff, because it's just not working out for you. And it just holds you back from your true potential. But to restate where we began the call with it, I do feel that a new relationship is coming your way, and it will be with, you know, like a man who is an authority in their profession.
Okay. In the near future?
Yeah, so this will be like within the next 12 months. So I'm going to be vague here, just because that takes a lot of time to break that timing down. And in the live show, we just can't really get into that. But it will be within the next 12 months that you will meet this person. So and I would also be inclined to think that they do work in medicine also.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that help. Thank you.
Absolutely. Britta, is there anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Nope. I think you got it covered.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, Philson, it was great to have you on the show. Philson, be sure to give us a call back in the future and let us know how it turns out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Until next time. Okay. All right, and we are going to close down the show. We've gone through everybody today, and it looks like that everybody's still sort of on fire from this past Mercury retrograde. I was looking at the stats for our show here on BTR, and I was really kind of surprised just like how everything just tanked. It's like everybody is sleeping right now. It's kind of weird how quiet everything has gotten. I'm not sure if this is an indication of some things that are set to happen in the future, where there's going to be some big shakeups. I mean, we know these things are coming, right? But it was just really quiet this past week. So this Mercury retrograde was pretty savage. I do apologize to everybody who was affected by that. The great, terrific news about all of that, though, I'm going to close the show out with this, is we're going to take a look at the ephemeris right now. And the reason we're doing that is because that your Mercury, which is the planet that is in retrograde, it went direct on the 2nd, which was a week ago today. So that's great, but that's not the takeaway. The big takeaway is the fact that you see that this D for direct, now Mercury's slowly starting to speed up. It's 24 degrees, 25, 26, and then by the 9th, which is today, it's really starting to speed up a lot more, about that 1 degree per day rate, which is what we like to see. Now, a week from today, Mercury is actually totally 100% back into its old swing, and it's moving direct like it's supposed to. So this is the final week of that after shadow, that post-shadow after effect, where we're still in that damage control phase. Like, a lot of us should start to see things a lot more clearly. Like, I've been very cloudy about some email, Google Workspace suspension account issues. It's really a disaster to resolve. And I am not a tech person on top of it, which makes it even more frustrating. So where I'm going with this is the fact that because Mercury will be back in full force this next week, this past week for me at least has felt a lot less heavy than what it has more recently. And I feel like that once I give it another week or so, maybe I can get back into this and it's not going to be a nightmare. So fingers crossed, and I just want to let everybody know that it truly does get better. So this is probably about the last week where Mercury-related issues and things blowing up in your face and going not the way that they're supposed to, that this should be the last of it. And then we will be back to normal, back into the full swing of everything and life again. So I know a lot of us are going to be very excited about these changes. And I know, Britta, something else that should also start to happen, because Mercury is a planet of communication, something else that we should start to notice out in the world is that our ability to communicate with spirits should feel a little bit less obstructed, you know, like that veil that we kind of have to cross through to receive that info. That that's not going to it's not going to feel that same challenge that was associated with there, like last month. Britta, I don't know about you, but was last month like a little bit harder for you to connect spiritually than what it normally is?
Not to connect spiritually, but it was most definitely
a challenge as far as the obstacles that spirit presented. And it wasn't necessarily in communication for me as it was as much for others. And that was my frustration, watching others stumble when I could see the answer, but there was not a damn thing that could be done about it. So it definitely, if you're in a place of reception that you can receive information from spirit and it gets cloudy, then take a day, take a walk, take a break. Anything that comes across not clear or invalid, disengage. You just disengage. So when you're dealing with Mercury retrograde and it's communication issue and you don't feel like it's connecting the way you're saying, stop trying. Just stop trying.
And most importantly, when you get mad, walk away. Walk the heck
exactly.
away. Do not push yourself. Like it is so toxic in American culture how we as workaholics continue to push ourselves into doing all of these things that we don't want to do, even though we know it's not healthy, but we're under duress or, you know, we're going to get fired or, you know, like the bills don't get paid, whatever. I'm taking a break.
Well,
you know, like I've just decided I have had it. I need to recharge my batteries. I can't do anything else right now. So it truly sucks when you wear yourself out like this, but it's either I take a time out and focus on what matters, which is me, or I pay the price in the future. And I don't want to know what that's all about.
No, you don't. And not pushing it to the point of the negative energy, then that also results in you not creating karma that's going to come back around and kick you in the ass when you least expect it. So it's much better philosophy to just chill and walk away than build up anger and express it in a manner that's going to come back and bite you.
That is for sure. So remember, guys, whenever you've had it, just say, that's it for me, and come back to it at another time. Not everything has to be done right now. Like, there are so many people that we live in this very right now type of mode. Like, if I spill a little bit of water on the counter, I need to clean it up in this exact moment. No, I don't. You know, like, the house isn't going to burn down. You know, like, I'm not getting struck by lightning. Nobody's holding a knife to my neck. You know, like, I am not in danger or peril of any kind. That stuff does not matter. It's truly crazy how, you know, like our priorities in life have just shifted and just gotten so wacky and just not good, you know, like not taking care of ourselves. The shift has gone off of the self and into all of this other stuff. And then what happened as a result is we're unable to accept personal responsibility. And then we feel attacked whenever somebody wants to try to help us. So, you know, we can really avoid a lot of these dialogues and these discussions, just that soul self-care piece, Ho'oponopono, you know, like that really does work. And more than anything else, because it addresses the self-care piece, which is something that a lot of us who live spiritual lifestyles need a lot of help with, because we give so much of ourselves in many different areas of life, trying to help the people in our environment and those who we really love, that we kind of forget to take care of ourselves in the whole process. That, you know, like we're so focused on helping this other person to feel better through their whole pain and suffering that I forget to, you know, go on a walk or to eat or to drink a glass of water. And now I have a headache and I have to lie down. Well, I could have avoided that if I had just taken care of myself. Self-care is really everything, because remember, guys, at the end of the day, you are all that you have, and that is a fact.
Yep, that's right. You can't take care of anybody else if you don't take care of yourself. So, well, it was a good day.
No.
I think we had a good day.
Yeah, it was a great day. You know, I'm going to have to, because I know you do a lot of hospice care, and this is something that in astrology, what is the difference between palliative care and hospice?
Palliative care is a comfort measure, but not necessarily resulting in death. Hospice is strictly end result. Palliative care is death, and you're looking at that being you know, the down the road what the takeaway is. Now, with palliative care, you're also very conscientious. This individual may come away and rebound and heal enough they no longer need it. So occasionally there is a different type of treatment done with palliative care type of treatment done with hospice that would not be with palliative care. But it's really, the only difference is in palliative care and hospice. Hospice ends in death most of the time.
And I think the big difference is the fact that, like, palliative care in many cases may or may not be curative as the end result or outcome, but in hospice,
correct,
that is not ever a goal.
Correct. Say there are times that a person has been put on hospice and reviewed at the 6-month mark and taken off hospice. I know for a fact, and I've had clients that rebounded, and, you know, because they could get their energy back, they lasted a couple more years. Usually, honestly, if it's a hospice diagnosis, it's terminal. The end result is death.
Wow. Okay. So, and then with what you do then in terms of, you know, like psychic mediumship and all of that, what is your job in that whole situation then? What does that look like for you?
Okay. So on that spectrum, I'm basically just tuned into where they're at. When they get out of body, if they're leaving body, they're not conscious anymore. They're not dead, but they're not in their body. I'm aware where they're at. I can meet them on that plane and talk with them. And sometimes if they have fears or issues they have not worked through, and that's what's kept them in the body, we can work on it at that level. Otherwise, sometimes I can tell people who's waiting for them, you know, say they're wondering, you know, is my husband or my wife going to be there? I can tag in on that level and say, yeah, they are, and this is what they're wearing, and this is what they're saying they're going to meet you with. And sometimes, again, that brings a little bit of clarity and comfort to the client, although they don't really know why, or perhaps they do. Perhaps they do know I'm a medium. A lot of the times they just need to hear that someone's there. Then they don't care who delivers that message. I do more than just administer to the medium side of hospice. I am also a hospice provider, which means I'm there every step of the way during their transition. I've done things, you know, as well as held their hand, as much as laid their head in my lap and stroked their head and their hair until they took their last breath. I'm the person that they want to have there so that they can go peacefully, and that's my priority. This is a passion for me. It's not a job. And I care about hospice. I care about what I do, and that's what makes it special for me, not just being a medium, but because I can be there to administer at their last breath the love and care that they need.
And, you know, it's interesting. We'll have to, let me see, where is that? So if I do this, then what happens? Okay. So I'm going to switch gears for a second. I'll close the show out with this just so you get the validation of what it looks like in your chart. So if we look, this is your chart, by the way, Veretta, that we're looking at it. And so this Neptune Hades, you and I have discussed this in the past, and this is a generational aspect. So anybody who was born between, I think it's like 1956 and like 1963, somewhere around there, that Neptune and Hades were like in this dance that were both really close to each other. So like, and those generation of souls, what you'll find is that like those two planets, if it aspects other personal points, that this can make somebody extremely mediumistic or inclined to do, you know, spirit communication, specifically having to do with death and loss. Not so much, you know, like to be a psychic and to tell the future, like, you know, kind of stuff, but really more in like the hospice care to transition, you know, like that would be somebody who specializes in that. And so what I find so interesting about your chart in particular, like you are a damn good medium, and I think you know that too, from the feedback that you get from your clients. But here's why, is because this Neptune Hades right there, this makes a midpoint with the, or forms an axis with the ascendant, which is a personal point. So that's you and the environment. And then on the opposite end right there, we got this sun. So I'm sorry, let me redraw that. You've got the sun here. And so this is going to mean that you and the environment, the ascendant, are doing mediumistic things. That's the Neptune Hades. So, you know, like this has to add, and you're very good at it because you've got that Vulcanus there next to your sun. So that makes you very powerful. So like you are like, as far as, you know, channeling energy is concerned, you would be considered like whatever the highest form of a clear channel would be. like you're really, really quite gifted and, you know, like ready for this type of work. So, yeah, go ahead.
This is something that you really don't have a name for when you come to a point of understanding that the type of channel that I am is not just the typical channel that, you know, you'd be provided for. If someone would say, I can trance channel as well as physically medium channel, which means they can inhabit my body. I have allowed them the ability to channel through my body. So I wouldn't know what that is called. And if you're finding it in my chart, that makes absolute sense why I've always been able to do that to the degree that I can. I've always associated or equated my ability to who I channel, which is the White Brotherhood, and therefore the Ascended Masters. I know when they're around, I have to adjust my vibration high enough to match that. So that is the only thing that I could say that I would attribute to being able to do the other types of channeling that I've done, is the fact that I have to raise my vibration and conscientiously keep it that way to maintain a level of connection to them.
Well, it's not only just that, you know, like when you were in California, you know, when you were doing, you know, like the stuff with, you know, your ministry and getting all of that stuff worked done, like when you were working on your PhD back in those years, that like you being a spiritual teacher, which is, you know, that Poseidon and Saturn here, that along with your meridian, this is going to be like one of the major things that's going to unlock a lot of your own spiritual gifts and abilities. Would you agree with that, that period or that phase and chapter in your life when you were, you know, really kind of getting your A game ready, that this was a time when you just sort of blossomed in a way that you never saw possible?
Yes, my church was definitely a growth period that it gave me the ability to excel in an emotional, mental capacity that I would not have had. And I still have, you know, fluid contact with my membership, the congregation. So that part of what I do was, if you want to say measured as a success, I can definitely look back and say that was a good thing to do. That was definitely not a mistake along the way. My church was a point of a milestone for me.
It was a huge turning point in terms of developing the skill set that you work with. And I think it really just kind of helped to lock you into, you know, like I've done this for so long and now I can integrate all of my knowledge and experiences in a meaningful way. So that, and every time that you teach, you know, a class, I don't think you're teaching as much now as what you used to. And that's something that we're hopefully looking to get started up in the next year or so. But you know, whenever you get back into teaching classes, like what you did at VQ way back when I met you, that those are going to be the things, you know, the energies that you can create that, you're going to notice that the spirit communication, the mediumship stuff, that's going to take you to, you know, like even greater heights and, you know, wonder than where you're at right now, if that's even possible, which I know it is. But you're just going to start to notice like that this is going to open you up in really big ways. So that would be like as far as your chart is concerned and what you can do with your own actions. If you want to sharpen a craft or to be good at something, that would be the first thing that I would do is like say establish what you know about spirit communication and then start teaching people about it, because that's going to be where you're going to start to find yourself.
Yeah, I know that I have a calling that I haven't completed, and that one is writing books, writing what I know, transferring my information into literature. And I know that I'm failing on that, but I do intend to absolutely put that information out so I can start teaching again. And I also have an outlet to where, you know, what you're seeing in my chart to make me known. I have an outlet to that, and I kind of know where it's coming from. So it'll be a matter of getting it started. So I think we're good. I know that I have great things, and I'm looking forward to being able to share them. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you have great things and you don't share it, that's not worth anything then. And
right,
like I said before, it's a matter of service. So you do what you can,
and you find what you can and you let the rest go.
And, you know, if you have something and you don't want to share it with the world, that's really unfortunate. But, you know, what ends up happening is the fact that people are just going to take it from you and call it something else. And then what the heck good was all of you holding on to this information good for anyway? Because it just damages,
right,
you know, like the future. Because you could have imparted this and we could develop and, you know, like expand and to go into these new directions. But, you know, like holding on to stuff really close, that just doesn't do anybody any good. And that's where you end up with things, you know, like a million and one authors that write different, all of their different perspectives about the progressed moon cycle. Like, why do we have to have three astrologers and a society that have to talk about the same subject?
So, and then, you know, that ends up getting called New Age.
Yeah. Pseudoscience.
Because you got everybody trying to compete with everybody, setting their stone in a market that somebody said we could excel if we started promoting this way. So, yeah, I get you, man. I get you. We're all good, though.
That's...
We just keep promoting from where we stand, and that's what matters.
And that's where we are headed with the show is, you know, like getting into publishing and expanding all of the different directions that we can do with this work. So we're really quite excited for the things that are coming down the turnpike. And you should start to see a lot of those changes after the new year, since we're still in development right now. But that'll be coming, and we look forward to sharing those things with you.
Yep. That sounds wonderful.
So it was great to have you on the show, Veretta. Again, as always, thank you so much for joining me today. We will be back with everybody on Wednesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. for a one-hour show. We want to thank all of our guests that were on the program today, and we will be back with you guys until next time. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share, and spread the love that is Uranian astrology and everything that it can do. For all other things Uranian astrology, be sure to check out eastrologer.tv, and VerettaVision.com is where you can get a hold of Veretta if you'd like to work with her. So thank you, everybody, for the show today, and we will catch up with you guys real soon.
Bye-bye. Blessings.
Until next time, good luck and Godspeed.